Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. Handel's Messiah premieres at London's Royal Opera House in 1743. 1775, Patrick Henry proclaims, "Give me liberty or give me death," in a speech in favor of Virginia troops joining the U.S. Revolutionary War. At the time, there was not an open state of war, but some, including Henry, saw it as inevitable. In the body, he cites the Plains of Boston. The Battle of Lexington and Concord had taken place 4 days earlier. It's not entirely certain if Henry was referring to that skirmish or the earlier Boston Tea Party. Boston was the hotbed of resistance to the British. Virginia was more subdued. The speech swayed the group and Virginia to begin raising troops for the coming war. 1806, Lewis and Clark, having wintered near the Pacific coast, begin their journey back east. Once they reach the Missouri River, it will be a much easier trip, as it's with the river's flow. Did you know Napoleon had a brother? He did. Joseph Bonaparte takes the Spanish throne on this day in 1808. The Boston Morning Post publishes the first recorded use of the term OK in 1839. It was an abbreviation for the term all correct. There was a slang spelling for the phrase at the time, where all was spelled with an O and correct with a K. 1856, 18-year-old English chemist William Perkin accidentally produces the first synthetic aniline dye during his Easter holiday. Perkins was a chemistry student, and the project at hand was trying to produce synthetic quinine, which was in high demand as a malaria treatment. He was not successful in making the drug, but found a substance that yielded an intense purple color and acted as a stable cloth dye. After this, he gave up medicine and focused on further synthetic dyes. Elisha Otis was far from his teens, and in fact near the end of his life, when his first passenger elevator is installed in New York City in 1857. This may be 6 years after the idea was conceived, and 4 years after his dramatic demonstration at the 1853 New York World's Fair. The University of California is founded at Oakland in 1868. In 1873, it moved to Berkeley. While the system is technically a land-grant college, most of the campuses do not have the same feel or emphasis. The exception would be UC Davis. The 19th century seemed to offer much fodder for inventive minds. Many of the processes employed at the time were still quite basic. Some things are difficult to improve on. John Stevens was in the business of operating a water-powered flour mill on the Fox River at Neenah, Wisconsin. The issue then, as now, is a pure white flour is desired, where most, if not all, of the bran is removed. Traditional stone grinding made this a difficult process. Looking for a way to improve and make it more profitable, Stevens envisioned the idea of, instead of two large stones to break the kernel down, what if he used large steel rolls? It took some effort to get the parts manufactured and work out the bugs, but the idea worked quite well. His factory could produce 2.5 times the amount of flour per day with the same amount of water as the old system. Originally, he planned to keep his methods a trade secret, but that did not work. In 1880, he's granted a patent. In a twist of fate, the region around Neenah was a major wheat-growing area, but Stevens' method favored a type of wheat that grew in Minnesota and the Dakotas, causing a shift in milling from Neenah to Minneapolis, where Pillsbury and Gold Medal will employ Stevens' process. The water-powered mills on the Fox River switch from flour to paper, and the region is still in that business today. While the mills are no longer powered by water, the region does retain numerous small hydroelectric plants. There is one paper mill in the United States that does boast 100% hydropower, the niche French Paper Company in Niles, Michigan. In his post-presidency period, Theodore Roosevelt leaves New York for an African safari. The trip is sponsored by the Smithsonian Institute and the National Geographic Society. The year is 1909. The spring of 1913 was a tough time in the Ohio River Valley. There is widespread epic flooding, and on this day, a tornado outbreak. President Hoover has the first telephone installed in the Oval Office in 1929. The German legislature makes Adolf Hitler dictator of Germany in 1933. The Army and Department of Defense have always been pushing the scientific envelope. In 1957, the Army sells their last homing pigeons. While it seems strange, pigeons were a good way to send critical messages. NASA launches the first two-man space flight in 1965. The crew of the Gemini craft are Gus Grissom and John Young. Grissom was killed in the Apollo 1 fire. Young was the only astronaut to fly on four types of craft: Gemini, Apollo, the Lunar Module, and the Space Shuttle. Ken Mattingly was the only other Apollo astronaut to move to the shuttle program. Mattingly did not land on the moon. President Reagan makes his first proposal to develop the technology to intercept enemy missiles in 1983. Mockingly called Star Wars, it was a legitimate ideal, even if the technology was years away. If nothing else, the concept was the ruse that pushed the Soviet Union to spin themselves into a crisis. It could be argued that even if it was a facade, it brought the Soviet Union down. 2 years ago, a container ship runs aground in the Suez Canal, blocking it for 6 days. On average, 60 ships a day pass through the canal, greatly shortening the trip from the Far East to Europe. If you are watching the national news, you should be concerned at the alliance between Russia, China, and Iran. China recently brokered a peace deal between the Saudis and Iran, and Russia now says they will use Chinese currency in international trade. This group is working to displace the U.S. as the world leader and superpower. Meanwhile, China is courting anyone in South America that is remotely interested in talking. One argument they make is since both Russia and China are essentially ruled for life by their respective leaders, countries do not have to deal with the ever-shifting policies and priorities of the United States. That's History and Comment for the 23rd day of March. I'm Doug Tyrrell. Now go do something worth remembering.